So this is going to be a little bit of a different spin on what we talked about this morning, and we're going to kind of dig in and talk about some of the obstacles and organizational barriers and the people that you run up against that are somewhat, we'll call them difficult in your lives, that aren't quite sure what to do with Enterprise Social just yet. So for those of you that were not in the morning session that Peter and I presented, my name is Steve Nguyen. My role is Customer Success Manager. So what that means is myself and my team, we help companies just like you understand what it means to go on this journey of working social and helping companies understand what it means to work in this new way. I actually come from a company called Cargill. How many of you went to Melanie Hohert's session following mine?
So good.
Really good session. If you didn't get a chance to make it, check out the recording. I think her energy and enthusiasm will permeate even through the recording. So highly recommend you go check out that recording. But anyway, she talked a lot about Cargill. That's where I came from. I've been in the trenches with you guys doing a lot of the work that you've been, that you're trying to do as far as championing enterprise social at your organizations. I've run into some of these barriers. I'll let Allison introduce herself. She's also a former customer as well.
So good afternoon, everyone. Allison Michaels, also a former customer. I came from First Solar. And actually, next month will be my 3 years with Yammer. And in Yammer time, that is a long time. I can't even believe it. So I'm really excited. So kind of also seen both sides of the house. This is something that Steve and I love to talk about because we were so passionate, we had to join the team. And we've obviously gone through the Microsoft story as well, and so we'll share a little bit about that and the obstacles that we faced and how we've overcome that too within this session. My role is to, I lead the customer engagement programs team. So if anybody is a part of the Yammer Customer Network, have joined either a webinar or training sessions, or certifications, anything like that, that's what my team is up to.
And just a little bit of, I guess, foundational about how we're going to go through this session. We're going to kind of present an obstacle, something that we've seen, something that we've encountered with the customer. We'll talk about kind of how it's manifested, why people think this is a barrier, or why organizations run up against these things. And then we'll talk through some examples of how we've seen customers kind of overcome these things. And then we'd also, you know, if you were in the session this morning, Allison and I, our style is really to try to make it as interactive as possible. We like having the discussion with you guys, and we know that there's a lot of expertise amongst the crowd that you guys can share with one another from your own experiences. So be prepared. We're going to call on you guys.
And we will have plenty of time for questions, so we've got live mics as well. So how many of you never heard of Yammer before you showed up to the SharePoint conference? Never had heard of Yammer, so you all. So how many of you are actually implementing Yammer right now within your organization? And the rest of you, why are you? So the rest of you, you're thinking about it? You're thinking about it? Okay, I see a couple like, we don't know, we've got a lot of tools. So one of the first obstacles that we see is that we've got a lot of people within the organization. You might have a few names or faces that come to mind when you read this quote about people who just love to hold on tight to information. And maybe they're not actually quoting this. But this actually, and what we have found, is comes usually from more experienced workers. A lot of times, we've grown up with this concept of knowledge is power, and kind of what does that really mean? People are afraid if they share. Does that mean that somebody else is going to take their idea and claim it as their own? What does that mean for their own self if somebody claims something that they've done? How does that reflect on their own brand and what they're up to? So people have really, really held tight to that. And it's really interesting. I was actually just talking earlier with someone. I actually wrote a blog post this morning about the fear of social when it comes to learning and training and organizational design. So it was we were really digging into the fear of this because this is a real thing. Where's my clicker? So kind of the way that people have kind of overcome this fear is to narrate your work and really think about what you're doing on a daily basis and thinking about how can you involve others in that process. Steve and I love this slide. We always challenge people to look at this slide and try and not read it in his voice. Like, doesn't it just like, you just hear him speaking. He has much better voice than I do. But one of the stories that I would love to share with you about kind of how this obstacle was overcome. One of my customers that I've worked closely with, Food Services of America, pretty large company, pretty old company, privately held, and they have gone through quite a bit of acquisition, mergers, things like that. And a post on the Yammer Network, somebody who had just recently got acquired, he posts on the Yammer Network and says, you know, I see my other peers getting new opportunities and new jobs and new functions and new kind of new areas within the company. Why aren't I getting those opportunities? So I've got a good relationship with the CIO there, and so he and I are talking about this, and he goes, Allison, I thought the CEO was going to call me up as soon as that was posted. He said, I was so nervous that that was posted on our Yammer Network. He said, we thought that we were going to have to take it down. Well, actually, by Monday morning, the CEO did call the CIO, and he was like, I can't believe how our community responded to this guy. They shared with him some tips, some ideas of how he can start to work and to network within the new conglomerate of Food Services of America to better his career, to provide more opportunities for him. So a conversation that might have kind of come off as something that he could have withheld and been very disengaged, by engaging with the community, he was very much engaged. And now he actually has a really, really great job with Food Services of America and is more engaged than he would have ever been before. So this was an interesting obstacle that Food Services of America had had, and they had never really had experienced this in other forms of communication prior to that.
There was an occasion when I was still working at Cargill, I was in the cafeteria grabbing lunch, and a woman comes up to me that I used to work with, hadn't seen her in several months. She comes up to me and says, hey, Steve, I haven't seen you in months, but I know everything that you're working on because I follow you on Yammer. So I had been taking the effort to narrate my work and talk about the projects that I'm working on, talking about who I'm meeting with, what I'm learning about from having those meetings. So she actually wasn't somebody that was active from the standpoint that she was posting her own messages, but she was one of those lurkers. She was actually consuming information, and she came up to me. And when she said that to me, it really validated to me that, you know, there are people watching and there are people listening, and it kind of validated to me that that my sharing was valuable to at least this person.
Yeah. One last comment about that. I'm a manager. I lead a team, and something that I do as a manager to get my team to work out loud or kind of narrate their work is on Fridays I ask, what are their highs and lows for the week? And it's a different way of asking, what are you working on? It's just a different way. And so for me, as a manager, I can easily see what the sentiment of my team is on a weekly basis. They don't have to respond if they don't want to. But it's actually really interesting, because what happens is somebody says, you know, this low, this was really hard to talk to this customer about this thing. And then somebody else chimes in and says, you know what, I had to do that too last week, and here's how I dealt with it. And so that starts to happen very, very often, because we're kind of engaging in the work and narrating that work out loud.
Yeah, there's actually one of the general managers for one of the districts that I work with. He does this thing on Fridays. He calls it Friday Roll Call. And he just posts a message, says, okay, district, what are your wins for the week? Big, small, whatever it is. Let us know, did you make a new connection? Were you able to make a new connection that might lead to some new opportunity? And, you know, 10, 20 posts later, people are really sharing the successes that they've had during the week. And it's really kind of a motivating thing, especially on a Friday, to read the successes that people have had during the week. All right, so the next one. We just licensed Office 365, and Yammer came with it. So we're running into this a lot more.
Is this you guys? Yes, okay. Just making sure.
So I guess a little bit of history. So prior to the Microsoft acquisition, a lot of the people that Allison and I would work with tended to be people in HR or communications, you know, people that found Yammer because they saw utility in it from a comms or an engagement standpoint. So we would generally be dealing with that type of audience. Now that we're part of Microsoft, obviously Microsoft's relationships have generally been within IT. And a lot of the shift in the way that Microsoft is licensing Yammer, it's now part of all the Office 365 SKUs. So we kind of fall into this thing that we affectionately refer to as the car freshener effect. So you get your car wash, and then you get the free air freshener, and Yammer is the air freshener, or the free toaster that you get with your mortgage, whatever that might be. And so a lot of the
I like free.
Free is good, but let's make use of the free, right? So a lot of the challenges that we're running into as far as in working with our customers is that the way that we were able to sell the value of Yammer today to the IT audience is much different because it's something that is kind of an afterthought. They haven't really thought about why they want social, and now it's kind of coming to us, people are coming to us asking, well, what do we do with it? Whereas previously, people were coming to us with already kind of some built-in uses for why they would use Yammer. So I think the key thing to think about in this case, is that as you're starting to roll out, as you're starting to move certain workloads to the cloud, maybe it's Exchange, maybe it's Link, you can actually use Yammer to help with those deployments, with your Office 365 deployments. There's a company that I've been working with, Regis Salons. If you're familiar with Supercuts, Procuts, they own all those chains. They actually did the same thing. They licensed Office 365. Found out, oh, Yammer comes with it? Great. Well, actually, what they found is that Yammer has been leading the way for their Office 365 implementation. They found that actually rolling out and deploying Yammer was pretty much turnkey for them, whereas there's lots of other steps that you need to take to get Exchange or Link or SharePoint Online to get those up and running. But to get Yammer up and running, fairly seamless. They're able to roll it out to a couple 10,000 of their employees, and they're already starting to see some really great benefits from their frontline employees about using Yammer. But the other thing that they're able to think about is how can they use Yammer for the actual Office 365 deployment? And Allison recently wrote a blog post. If you go to the Yammer blog, there's a nice blog post about how you can think about using Yammer for Office 365. Can you recap? Can you give them?
Yeah. So I was actually working with a few of our customers in our Yammer customer network and saying, is anybody doing this? And this is one of the ways I kind of found Yammer a couple of years ago. We were rolling out SAP, and we needed a deployment communication tool. We needed something to communicate all the different streams, the QA people, the pilot testers, all these different things that were going on in this large deployment. So we were kind of reminiscing with the customers about how are they doing this. And so what they're doing is they're creating groups based on the different workloads that they're focusing on. If your email is migrating, maybe there's an email group, there's a tips and tricks group, there's an O365 feedback group, so the IT team has specific feedback from their users. So Yammer blog, I think it was posted yesterday or the day before, we do have a couple of customer examples in there as well, that people are doing this because, like Steve said, Yammer's already there. There's no migration that needs to happen. You can just, it's really quick, and then you can use that in the way to supplement the other and existing communication methods that you're using when you deploy software. So, yeah.
And for those of you that are on our Yammer customer network, there was recently a thread where somebody was asking about how might we use Yammer to deploy Link. And so some of the discussion that happened in that thread were, let's create an Office 365 group like Allison was describing, or maybe even it's a Link specific group, but probably more broadly it makes sense to have an Office 365 group to start with. But and then the idea was to have a discussion or put out tips around, hey, did you know that you could you could join your meetings from Link just by clicking on the calendar button within Link? Or did you know that there's really cool OneNote integration between OneNote and Link where you can bring in your meeting details from your calendar invite, and when people are joining in from the Link meeting, it actually checks off the boxes when people are joining the meeting.
So, ooh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's really cool. So putting messages like that into the Office 365 group, tagging it with, let's say, Link tip or something like that. Another, even if you're not doing an Office 365 deployment, or even if you just have a thriving SharePoint community within your organization, one of the more popular groups that I've seen at several companies is just having a SharePoint administrator group. really having a SharePoint administrator group can really take the burden off of your SharePoint team. What we've seen able to happen is that the SharePoint administrators come together and they're able to ask and answer their own questions within their community, and again, really taking some of that workload off the SharePoint teams themselves.
Yep. My execs don't get it. They think people will just waste time. Most of the time, this fear, this obstacle, this objection actually usually comes from management and not usually from leadership and from the exec team. What we actually have found is the execs love a tool like this. This is their platform. They love to see what their frontline employees are up to, what they're working on. So it's actually usually, I would say, kind of the middle management who kind of gets nervous about what has this changed, this normal chain of command, now that my exec leaders can see exactly what my people are up to, good or bad, right? And so this is, you know, kind of managers kind of feel a little bit threatened. And what we've actually seen is people will adopt to this new technology, not only if it's top down and you have the leadership and it's the bottom up, but I always say don't forget about the middle. Figure out how can you really work with the managers to get this to stick, because if your direct manager is not using it, it's hard for people to say, well, I don't know. So how many of you have seen the show Undercover CEO? Undercover Boss, Undercover CEO, yeah. So Steve and I were talking. We were actually like, oh, that is a weird show. It's a good show. But it's so interesting that you've got to pay someone to walk on your own front lines. That's so interesting. Whereas using tools like Yammer, you can actually go in and see how this is done. So,
well, sorry to interrupt, but to me it makes the CEO look bad. I mean, it's exposing them to say, I don't know what's going on in my organization.
Yeah.
Can somebody help me here?
Yeah, absolutely. So the story I have for you about this and kind of how this where the rubber meets the road. Andy Hedges from Westfield out of Australia. So this is kind of, he would go and visit the Westfield shopping centers, and he, when he would visit them, they would roll out the red carpet. They would wine and dine, everything was spit shine. He could not get into these stores without seeing how it really, really is. That has all changed with the use of Yammer within their store directors all across the world. And so this is very interesting because now he sees and can help kind of fix and share best practices among the stores. So it's actually really interesting because, you know, he can now see what they really are, and he doesn't have to travel to every single one and wait for that red carpet treatment when he's thinking about, you know, really seeing what the front line is up to.
Our team, obviously we use Yammer heavily. And you know, if I were to tell you that I spent 90% of my day in Yammer, would you say that I'm wasting my time? Yes, okay. Well, if you did, then I could show you the actual work products. I could show you the conversations that our teams are having. I could show you the question and answering, the back and forth, the sharing of stories that we do on our network to really show that we're actually getting real work done. I heard a story about two VPs having a discussion with one another. One VP said to the other, well, how do I know that they're not just goofing off and they're not doing their real work? Well, the other VP said, well, have you actually gone on there? Have you seen what's happening? It is their work. So you do have to get to a point where people are, like we talked about earlier, narrating the work, getting project teams to actually go out there and do things. Mm-hmm. You know, from an executive standpoint, of actually getting some buy-in and getting people to getting executives to buy in and participate. Some of the things we talk about often are understand what is top of mind for your executive. So maybe you have a COO or a CFO that's interested in cost-cutting measures or developing some new product innovation. Well, if you're a community manager, seed your network with those conversations. Start an innovation Yam Jam. We talked about Yam Jams earlier in the day. Seed it with conversations about, hey, which departments are doing the best job at cutting costs or saving travel costs or whatever it is. And once you've started to have those conversations, Take your COO and CFO and handhold them and show them those conversations, because as soon as you do that, it starts to make it really relevant for them, because that topic is interesting to them.
Yeah. And this is when we talk about, you know, it can be fun. You know, many of you are probably like, well, my Yammer network, or maybe some of you say, well, only birthdays and cat photos and, you know, pictures of people's families get posted. And I think a little bit of education goes a long way. And I also think that kind of helping people understand the value and what they would be using it for, and maybe it's specific things of connecting with senior leadership or working on a project or rolling out the O365, kind of the examples that we've provided, that helps people post less cat pictures, unless, of course, it's in the cat picture group or the cat lovers group, right? If you're a cat lover, go join that group and love cats over there. But don't clutter my feed up with that cat stuff, for example. I know Melanie in her session, they have been cat video free since 2012, so super excited about that. They had a big campaign because that's something that their culture has really kind of said, look, this is for work and we're going to get work done. And if you're going to use this, this is how we'd like for you to use it, and kind of given them guidelines and things like that.
So I just want to pause here, and so we do have a couple more obstacles that we're going to run through, and like we said, we do want to make this interactive for you guys. So of the things that you've seen so far, how many of you have experienced these things? Raise your hand.
Couple.
All right. What do you guys have any questions, comments, how you guys have handled these things? Yes. Would you mind going to the microphone, please? Thank you.
It just helps with the recording.
Yeah. Thank you.
We missed that.
Yeah, my question's basically around the news feed and how Yammer is going to be integrated with that, and it almost seems like there's a, what do you do with team sites if your groups are going to be primarily in Yammer? So that's kind of, we've designed an entire collaboration area based off of team sites, and it seems like there are almost two competing areas. So.
Oh, he's like setting us up for perfect. Come
on. Hold on.
So
team sites versus just the regular feed of following groups and following people. Yeah. So I'd say there's a little bit of a distinction between the full feed and, let's say, going to a specific group feed. I think, I'll say from my own personal use, I go to a group feed when I want to focus, and I want to focus on just consuming the content from that particular space. I use the following feed mostly. I use the following feed for when I just want to see the breadth of what's happening across the things that I'm interested in. And so when I think about the following feed, and this actually is an obstacle that comes up fairly often, mm-hmm. is too much noise. You know, people often will complain about, there's just too much in my feed, how do I filter things out? To me, the benefit of using Yammer and the benefit of the feeds is that I can choose what's interesting to me. I can choose the content that's going to come to me. Versus email, I can't choose whether Allison sends me an email or not. I can't choose whether all these newsletters, well, I can unsubscribe to newsletters and things. But you kind of understand. Mm-hmm. You can't really pick and choose who's going to email you. But within Yammer, I can choose what's interesting to me based off of the groups that I follow or the people that I follow. So one of the things that we recommend is if things get too overwhelming for you, think about the 5 and 5 principle. Okay? So 5 and 5 means follow 5 people and follow 5 groups. Follow the 5 essential people that you want to follow and the 5 essential groups that you want to follow. When we first got acquired by Microsoft and we joined the Microsoft network, I'm a dork, and so I joined the Xbox group, I joined the Windows Phone group, I joined the Surface group, I joined all these, you know, SharePoint group, everything, you know, and I just totally overloaded myself. When I started to look at my feed, I realized none of those, the Xbox group is not helping me do my job. It's just making me want an Xbox One more than I already don't have one. So really think about paring down 5 and 5, and as you get more and more comfortable with what is in your feed and you want to expand, then you can slowly continue to add more.
And then 2 points. So yesterday at the keynote, they talked a lot about the groups functionality that's going to come out that will do the O365, Yammer group, kind of all in one, so the 3-in-1, as well as there was a session yesterday about the roadmap. So if you didn't see that session, that will be a really, really good session to watch on demand, as well as I think the slides are posted too, to kind of show what is going to happen with that, what's best practice, as well as there are customers who are doing both, and we'll share about that as well. I think Nationwide presented earlier today. Trek bicycles as well. So people are using both. People are using separate, kind of the mix as well.
But I also think the benefit of the group feed and, you know, some of the team stuff that you're talking about is you have the ability to bring the feed to where your users are. So whether that's a SharePoint site or whether that's CRM or your intranet site, whatever that might be, that's the beauty of Yammer. We have this notion of Yammer in, Yammer out. So Yammer out being we want to be able to bring Yammer to where your users are. Yammer in, we want to be able to give you the ability to create integrations that bring information from your line of business applications and post them into Yammer as well.
That could kind of be like a song. Yammer in, Yammer out.
Yammer in.
I don't know.
All right, so the next one. How do I direct my users on which tool to use for which purpose? I'm guessing everyone in the room has encountered this at some point. Raise your hand if this is something that your organization deals with. Okay. And it's something that I deal with it in my personal life. I mean, there's so many different places to post things. There's so many places to consume information. But that's really what the world has been driven to today, is all these choices that we have, where we make our own choices about which tool to use that makes us the most efficient for what we're trying to do. We have Evernote, we have OneNote, we have all these different choices about how we can take notes. We have pen and paper, right? But we've all made choices about which tools that we want to introduce into our lives that are going to help make us most effective. That said, there's definitely a smorgasbord. We're in Vegas, so we had to put a picture of a buffet up here.
It's a vegetarian.
So you have, in many organizations, you have all these choices of all these tools that you could potentially use to collaborate. The thing to understand is that the way that Yammer has always been architected, the way that Yammer has always been built, is to be very much user-centric, user-friendly. And that's why it's been adopted the way that it has. Just as an aside, for those of you that are in the Yammer customer network or have seen on the internet, many of our customers will create crazy videos, or they'll bake cupcakes, or they'll have all these huge celebrations for their launch of Yammer. I've never seen anybody create SharePoint cupcakes. So I think that's kind of a testament to how much users really love and how much users really adopt an interface or a tool like Yammer. So I guess really what it's all about is providing the tools to your employees, but also giving them the choice of which tools that they want to be able to use to collaborate most effectively. Now that doesn't mean you shouldn't provide some guidance. You might put some. We have a chart here that we've been using even internally. I mean, you can imagine that at a company like Microsoft, we have every tool possible at our disposal to use. So we also struggle with which tool to use for a certain situation. But we're also having discussions with people to say, use email for kind of the individual, kind of the left side of the chart, and low urgency, medium urgency, whatever that might be. I kind of joke with people that there's no such thing as an urgent email or an urgent Yammer message. It's like, pick up the phone, text somebody or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So it's really, you kind of have to understand your audience. If the person that you're dealing with, you know that they're always on instant message, so maybe you can look and link and see their presence and reach out to them. But it's not to say that you shouldn't provide or you couldn't provide some guidance for people into which tool is most effective for a given situation. But I think it's also important that people do have a choice in how they communicate with one another.
And, this is not the end-all, be-all. What I think we'd love for you guys to do, specifically if you are in IT, if you are thinking about this, fill in this kind of quadrant or think about this for your own technology landscape. What do you have? Your tools might look different. You might have more tools, different tools, texting tools, survey tools. You might have a lot of other things. So use this as a starting base. Do not say this is the end all be all. This is kind of based on what we have at our disposal and kind of the things. And there's plenty of other tools that aren't even on there as well.
Yeah, and
like face to face.
Yeah. A colleague of mine and I, and we're maybe working with some partners, but we're actually working on this kind of choose your own adventure version of this. So, and it's all based off of an action. So, we're not really focused on tools per se in what we're trying to build. We're focused on actions that people want to take. So I have a document that I want to share with people. Okay, click on that one. I have a document that I want other people to work with me on. Okay, is it just for you, or is it just for a group? Is it going to be for a group of people? So you click on that, and it takes you kind of through a decision tree of getting down to which tools that you might be able to use for that situation. So we really want to focus on the actions that people want to take, and then guide them in a certain direction on which tool would be best for that given situation. So if you want to find somebody for lunch, obviously perhaps Outlook or Link might be better, because at Link you can see if somebody's available at their desk. Calendar, you can see if they're going to be available at a certain time. So things like that we're working on. Mm-hmm.
I was at a different conference, and we were talking about kind of the mentality. If we were to go to a restaurant and somebody just served you food, and you as an adult didn't get to pick what you wanted to eat, maybe you've got allergies, maybe things like that. So it was a very interesting concept of, we go to a restaurant, we see a menu, we pick what we want to eat. Or you go to a buffet and you still pick what you want to eat, or unless it's super fancy and you've got the prefix meal. But it's kind of that same mentality. Whereas when you have children, you usually kind of feed them what you know is going to be best for them. So it's kind of thinking about it like that. I'm all about food. Clearly, I'm starving. So always talking about food.
So we'll pause here. Any thoughts? How have you guys handled the which tool when discussion at your organizations?
I think Chris Slump is in this room, so maybe he can continue to provide. I was, totally calling him out. I see you're tweeting. I'm watching the Twitter feed.
I'd be happy to have you comment, Chris.
Happy.
Would you mind coming to the mic, please?
Anybody else?
Chris is coming up. Chris is essentially lead community manager.
It's a long way away.
Leader for Yammer at Microsoft.
Yeah, so I started a version of that chart about 3 years ago, and we talked about trying to make this really simple for people. That's the real challenge. And the problem is there's actually a lot more overlap than this shows.
Yeah.
And so that's the real issue, right? And so, like you were saying, Steve, it's providing guidance, but kind of celebrating choice. And so, let the best tool win for what you need to do for your scenario. And the more open that scenario needs or can be, then the more you're going to lean towards Yammer and so on. So there's like five different dimensions that this chart could mm-hmm. be drawn on. These are the two that we like. So
yeah,
thank you, Chris.
That's like a tweetable moment.
We actually have another version of this. That's kind of Consumer Reports-like, where we have Harvey balls that show good, better, best for a given scenario. That's another dimension that we've actually taken with this. But it's a challenging thing. I think in my perfect world, there's no need for this. And I think some of the things that we saw on Monday around, especially as time progresses and as the integration between SharePoint and Yammer gets better and better, I think the need for some of this declines. All right, so the next one, we want to do a pilot. How many of you guys want to do a pilot of Yammer?
No.
Chad, put your hand down.
So I kind of cringe every time I hear the word pilot. And I understand. I do understand why people use the word. I understand that there's a need to do, quote unquote, proof of concepts and just prove things out before you actually dive in. I'll talk a little bit about why that can be a challenge. So just take the word pilot to start with. A lot of times the word pilot, when you say that to a user, it implies that there's going to be a beginning, and there's going to be an end, and then there's going to be some decision that's going to be made to go or no go. And so as a user, if you tell a user you're going to do a pilot, then they might think, okay, well, what's going to happen to my content afterwards? If we choose not to do it, then what's going to happen? Are you going to get rid of everything, and is all my time wasted as a result of that? So I think in the mentality of a user, the word pilot can be detrimental. So instead, what we recommend is using the term phases or waves. There's a company that I know that they like to use the word wave because you can't stop a wave. But at least if you use the term phase, then that implies, okay, we're going to start with, we're going to roll out Yammer, we're going to help this initial group use Yammer to start with, and then that's phase one. You know, maybe it's 1,000 people. Maybe it's whatever you're comfortable, you know, rolling it out to. And then, so that's phase one. And if you use the word phase, that kind of implies, okay, there's going to be a phase two. And so as a user, then in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, I'm kind of in early. I'm on ground level. I'm going to be some of the first people on. But there's going to be other people and other knowledge that's going to be contributed after that, right? The other challenge with doing a pilot is that, you know, you've heard this week a lot about this notion of working like a network. And if you think about the way that our companies are traditionally organized, right? We're organized in this. How many of you went to Adam Pisoni's session the other day? So you probably saw these slides. And, you know, we describe that this is kind of the traditional way that organizations are put together. We're organized in a hierarchy, and you have a person on the left side that has a question, but we have a really difficult time of connecting that person that has a question with the person on the other side of the organization that actually has the answer. But you think about our personal lives, we're very much networked in a different way, right? There's no hierarchy in your personal lives, except in my house where my wife is the boss and there's no argument there. But in our personal lives, we're much more organized, or as a network. We're able to find a babysitter, we're able to find a plumber, we're able to find a new job because we're on sites like LinkedIn and Facebook, and we're able to find people and information in a much different way. So we want to be able to bring that same structure, we want to bring that same network, we want people to work like a network in their job function as well. So when you say a pilot, or when you limit the use of Yammer to a small group of people, the challenge with that is you're making assumptions on who that person or who the people in that pilot really want to collaborate with, right? So let's say that we take this center section of people and we say, okay, we're only going to let you guys collaborate. Well, the problem with that is, well, what if Dean wants to talk to the person over there? Or we know that person over there has the answer to the question, or same thing over in this group. This group has no way of connecting to that group. But if we open this entire room up, and we open the entire group up to be able to communicate with one another, then you're going to get a lot more efficiencies, and you're going to be able to have much better chances of really, really showing the value that you want to get out of enterprise social. So a lot of times what we see or what we hear from people is they say, okay, we want to do Yammer, fine, we'll activate it, but we only want to do it for the couple hundred people. But think about what you're really doing when you do that. You're limiting the scale and you're limiting the scope of the amount of information and the knowledge that people can actually share to the network and really work like a network and connect with one another.
And I've seen this happen with a few of my customers. They've limited the invites, or they've tried to control it. And something that Yammer is really, really good at is viral. It goes viral really quickly. That's exactly what happened at my organization prior to joining the Yammer team. And that is something that's very, very different than other tools that people experience as well. So it's really, really interesting. And so I've watched customers say, well, we only want this, but I guess if a couple other people join in, that's okay. And 10,000 users later, they are cooking, they're rocking, they're really, really seeing some great benefits and some great use cases out of that.
And without having a network with a large scale, you lose out on the benefits of people actually discovering their own really valuable uses for social. In the session this morning, I talked about how it's really important to think at the very beginning of the journey around setting your vision and defining some use cases. It's really important to think about that. But then once you get down the path a little bit, you start to find out, okay, well, some of those use cases were good and some of those weren't so good. But we also found that somebody else within the network found their own use for Yammer. And the example that I gave this morning was a person who travels a lot to plant locations. And this person just started to snap pictures of the plant, of things that he saw were kind of deficient or things that weren't right. So for example, he might see a cord that's been chewed through or a puddle that shouldn't be there. And he would take a picture of it and he would post it to the network and tag it with, see, that's your problem. No one else ever really told him to do that. No one else really thought of a reason to do that. But he thought of it himself. He posted it, says, see, that's your problem, and he posts a solution for how to prevent it or how to fix that given situation. But without the scale, without having the number of people that they actually have in their network, then they may not have discovered some of those edge use cases as well.
Yeah, great.
Yes. I said start small. And that's okay. If I said pilot, then I'm going to kick myself. But because I really try to avoid using the word pilot. I think I use start
It's recorded, so we'll watch and
yeah. Oh gosh.
I'll dock him on his performance review. I'm just kidding. Yeah.
Good question. So let me also give a little bit more background on how the whole we want to do a pilot thing kind of manifests, because what happens a lot of times, and there was a person sitting near the front row this morning that mentioned his IT team wanted to limit it only to like 200 people or something like that. So in that case, they're saying maybe they want to, let's say, we've heard instances where people say, we're just going to block it at the firewall until we're ready to figure out how to do it, or we're going to limit the IP address range to only this group of people to be able to have access to it. Okay, so that's very limiting, right? So instead of putting those restrictions in place, what we recommend is letting Yammer be available, but having some focused communications to some of those small teams to say, hey, we've identified a need with you. You've come to us, identified a need to collaborate better, to communicate better, whatever that might be. And help that team along, first of all. And then leaving it open for other people to continue to come into the community, continue to join the network. And all the while they're coming in, you still want to provide some sort of resource to them to help them understand what you guys are doing, what the objectives are for having this Yammer network in place, so that you don't get the cat videos, so that you don't get the side conversations that kind of muddy up the feed. But I think when we say start small, it's really hard, especially if you're in a large organization, to go out to the entire organization and say, "Hey, everybody, here's the business. Here's the distinct way that you should be using Yammer." Because, you know, let's face it, each functional team is going to operate a little bit differently, and each functional team is going to be in a different place from a culture standpoint to how they're going to adopt things. So, we've talked in previous sessions about this notion around green dots, yellow dots, and red dots, right? So it's really kind of going to those green dots, those people that are supportive, those people that you know already have a problem, those people that you know already have a need, and bringing them along with you first. But leaving it open for other people to come in as they need.
And this is a perfect plug for my session tomorrow at 5 to 6:15. If you haven't played with Yammer, we're doing a power user training session. So we actually haven't even shown you Yammer at all, right? Have you guys even noticed that? Like, we did not even show you any. She's like, where is this? And so we're going to talk about that. I'm going to show you that. We're going to walk through that step by step. So that's tomorrow if you're up for it, right before Ask the Experts. So, and it's back in this room. So that is a good plug. So if you want to get some hands-on training, that's what we're going to do tomorrow evening, afternoon-ish as well. So it's a good question. So what other questions do you have? We've got plenty of time, so we'd love to kind of open it up to the floor. And if you guys want, we do have one handheld mic. Maybe my friend AK or Denise can run around if you guys want. And then that one is on a cord.
So we just wanted to kind of prime the pump with these obstacles, because we know that they come up. But we also know that you guys have your own obstacles, so we wanted to make this kind of an open forum for you guys. Yes, sir.
And we'd love to just get you on the mic just so it's easier for the recording.
So we have a large organization, and about 8,000 people are using Chatter with Salesforce, about another, just quite a company of 10,000 that's using Jive. And when we go Office 365, we get Yammer. So how do we bring everyone into the fold of Yammer? I mean, what kind of strategies could we look at?
Yeah, that's a great one.
So I think that the challenge that you're going to face, even in today's world, with having Jive and Chatter, you have these distinct silos where the people in Chatter, I'm guessing, are primarily your sales function. And then Jive is maybe everybody else, right? So you don't really have those people in Jive able to connect with sales. So sales is kind of off on their own island doing their own thing. Now the same situation could come into play once you bring Yammer into the fold. So I think you really do need to make a conscious effort to move everything into one place. We would recommend Yammer to do that. And one of the really good reasons to do that is because the people that are in Yammer aren't going to need Chatter licenses. So as a result, what you can do is you can use the integration between Yammer and Salesforce, either what we call Open Graph or Embed. You can take a group feed. So let's say you create an account group within Yammer and then embed that feed within Chatter. So now, or within Salesforce, I should say. So then now you have the account team that's working right within Salesforce. They're able to have the feed, able to communicate within that feed. And now other people, let's say marketing or product, they're able to see whatever feedback that's being provided back into that feed via Yammer without having to have a Chatter license. Mm-hmm. So again, that Yammer in, Yammer out strategy that I was talking about, you're really going to want to bring everybody together into one place. Otherwise, you suffer from having these social silos.
Mm-hmm. And I think this was something that we had experienced at Yammer when we were purchased by Microsoft. We had our own Yammer network, and then there was the Microsoft Yammer network. Okay, so the Yammer network, Yammer's Yammer network was obviously the most active network. There was 450 of us. It was just, the engagement is insane because we didn't use anything else. And then we had the Microsoft network that we just never went to. And so what we did was, we kind of said, Adam Pisoni, our CTO, said, we're going to try an experiment. Let's go and try and do all our work for 2 weeks over in the Microsoft network. Take anything you need over. We're going to all move, try this in 2 weeks. And so kind of let it up to the users. We picked what we needed to bring over. Kind of everything else, kind of it's that the life cycle of information, the longer half-life of information. So it was kind of we didn't really need those conversations too much anymore. It was still there. We could still access it if we needed it. But then as we've gone, we rarely now go back to that network, almost ever.
It actually turns out to be a really good spring cleaning exercise.
Yes.
Because you
discover so much
what
content
really is needed and what isn't.
Yeah. Great.
Do you think it's risky? Whoa, let's go close. Do you think it's risky to fake it in the beginning with the green dots? So fake Chatter, because I know when we joined this Yammer for this, it was a lot of, hi, I'm on Yammer. And there was just, every time somebody joined, they'd post something just to post it, and it just, the noise level got intolerable.
Fake it with the green dots. Ooh, that's an interesting.
Maybe you could even show a structured way that it could work, like a.
Oh.
But is that risky, or have you seen that backfire, or?
No. What I have seen though is people don't understand how they're quite perceived on social networks, and this can often happen online and offline. And I was working with one of my community managers at Tyco, and she said, and we have this on the Microsoft network too, and somebody kept posting things, and she said a phone call went a long way. She picked up the phone and said, hey, I love what you're up to on Yammer, or I don't love what you're up to on Yammer. Let's talk about this. Do you understand that our company is trying to do this, this, and this with this tool, and our CEO pays for this? And he actually had no idea, and he didn't understand how he was being perceived, and he didn't know how many people were actually checking out his post and things like that. And so they kind of corralled him, and now he's one of the power users in one of their most active groups. Somebody on the Microsoft network posts, good morning, good morning, good morning, every day. And so what we did was we actually challenged our Microsoft Yammer champs, saying, how would you deal with this situation? And he could be a green dot. We want this person to be a green dot, and we just need to do a little bit of coaching. And like the community manager I was working with, she said the phone call goes a long way. That really goes a long way because it says, hey, we like what you're up to. Let's just kind of focus it a little bit. Great question.
Yeah, and I also think leading by example and showing how you think it should be used, because that way you can point to good examples of the network being used well.
So I don't know if that's fake it or not, but coaching is helpful. Coaching is helpful. Let's go to this side.
A quick question. On the TechNet site on Microsoft, people can ask questions, but a lot of people answers, and people vote on answers, and they mark as the right answer. Is there a similar concept in Yammer?
No.
Why not?
So we used
I think it would be super useful.
Yeah.
So we actually used to have a function within Yammer that was a questions module. So you could actually start typing a question, and then it would kind of do the predictive type to see what you... Turned out not that many people were actually using that function. So you're talking really about like the Quora kind of functionality. I think what we've generally found, and I was working with a company that felt like they really had that need as well, but when we actually analyzed the types of questions that they thought really needed to be answered, the challenge was that in most cases, there's not really an unassailable answer to most questions. There's, you know, one of the examples they gave that they wanted to try to figure out how to do was they gave us this example that said, we're looking for somebody to fill this job. Does anybody know a good person? Okay, all right, I'm gonna list 10 people off. What's the right answer? The other challenge with that is who's gonna take the time to go back and mark the question correct? Is it the person that asked the question? Well, then why'd they ask the question in the first place? So there's lots of kind of community challenges that go into play that we've thought about when kind of trying to implement that feature. And it's just that one of the main problems that we actually have are just people posting content in the first place. So a lot of the things that we're working on from an engineering and development standpoint are really trying to drive behaviors for people just to post content in the first place, let alone specialize content.
Yeah. Second question was, usually when you use Yammer, you have grassroots ideas and challenges, right? It's not a formalized process. Is there a concept of gamification or innovation management where you can graduate the thread into something more formal? Or?
So the way that we handle that is also, so we have some, first of all, we have a couple of partners, Bunchball and Badgeville, that do gamification.
That's like an app for it or something?
Yeah, it's a third-party app that you would integrate in with Yammer. I think you can set up kind of certain rules that, you know, whatever gamification rules you want in place. So we don't have it natively built in. And again, we're really focusing a lot of our engineering efforts on the stuff that you saw on Monday, around, you know, making sure people are happy with the integration between SharePoint and Yammer. So we really haven't put a lot of focus into things like gamification just yet. But I will say that there are ways to... a lot of times when people are talking about gamification, really what they're trying to do is just incent people to contribute, right? I mean, that goes back to what I was just saying, is that one of the main problems that we have is just people contributing in the first place. So one of the things that you can do from a kind of, I call this kind of fake gamification, but when people are contributing or when people are posting content to the network, simple things as a like, you know, acknowledges the fact that, hey, thank you for your contribution, I really appreciate it. Or even typing that out, you know, hey, Allison, I really appreciate your contribution, I didn't know that this resource existed. That validates for me that my contribution was valued by another person, and I'm more willing to come back.
Awesome.
There's also leaderboards that will show kind of, you know, the most liked member, the most replied to conversation and things like that, and a little bit of lightweight analytics that you could start to do some of that as well.
But
cool. Thank you.
Lastly, what I would say about gamification is I would start off with the community-driven gamification like I was just describing first, because if you spend too much time trying to set up this complicated gamified environment that people don't use, then you've wasted a lot of your time. So start simple, and then if you need it from there, explore it.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier about using Yammer for user adoption for kind of other Office 365 deployments, so particularly on the SharePoint side, obviously that's, if you're going from file share email, it's a big change. So if you could talk a little bit more about how well that worked. Obviously I've never heard anybody talk about doing any Yammer training, so you know, the people just start using it. So did you find that's what happened, that you could just point people to it and they would get it? And then the last part of this question is, did you ever take into account kind of the level of technical adversity that the user base might have in terms of, I can't believe you're going to put me in SharePoint, now you want me to do my training in this what?
Yes.
So if you can kind of dig into that a little bit.
Yes. So a couple things. So the ways that we're using Yammer, or our customers are also using Yammer to roll out the other tools, is specifically around groups and people, like they're posting tips around that, so that's working really well. And also a lot of times change, or communicating the change over and over and over again about different, saying it many, many different times in many different ways, even having a Yam Jam about why you guys are headed in this direction, going with this product, what is the business outcomes, things like that. The training aspect, something near and dear to my heart, that is kind of my wheelhouse. I love that. And yes, the training that I do is a little bit nuts and bolts, but it's more or less giving context behind the reason why and when and what does this look like. A lot of times people say, I didn't get training on how to use Facebook, but honestly, some of you could use some training on how to use Facebook. So it's kind of like thinking about that. And you know, it was funny, I was talking to somebody at the booth yesterday and he said, my users could use they could be so much better in just Excel if they just spent a little bit of time to figure out how to use pivot tables, right? So something very simple. If they just knew how to use pivot tables, that would be something really interesting. So yes, you might not, you know, the training that we offer, it's not 6 days. It's not anything like that. It's 90 minutes or less. We've got resources out of the wazoo. Please do not spend time creating anything net new. Success.yammer.com has got everything. Take as you need, use, reuse, duplicate, whatever you need, collaboration at its finest. And then your last question was, technology adverse. I love this because I've worked literally side by side with customers, and I know a couple of people Cynthia is shaking her head. We've worked with executives who have like literally never had a computer before because legal told them don't have a computer because you don't want to, you know, be written up for anything. So anyways, I've seen the gamut. I was actually working with a nursing home, and their staff was figuring this out. And it was very interesting because this group, the ages spanned so wide. And I will say social media literacy spans. It is not a generational thing. Yes, okay, some teens have been using Facebook for years, but that doesn't mean that they understand the work and the context behind why they should be using it from a work perspective and how they should be using it to get their work done. So I still think that just a little bit goes a long, long way, definitely a long way. And we're starting to do some research around this too, and it's definitely finding, you know, groups that are kind of investing in this just a little bit, their network is way better than groups that are just kind of like, figure it out for yourself.
Thank you guys for waiting on hold.
Yes.
I come from a relatively large company, and we've had Yammer for about 3 years. But up until just last year, we had about maybe 150 people on it. And then our CEO made a post, and it went from 150 to 9,000.
Those CEOs, always.
So our legal then fainted, and after we woke them up, we had a couple of conversations. But is there any resources that you can provide that can kind of speak to legal's, you know, need for governance, but still not stifle the creativity of, you know, of what Yammer's going for?
Yes. So two things: success.yammer.com. We've got usage policy templates, we've got security documentation, we've got all of that stuff that could speak to that as well as Steve was kind of talking about a little bit earlier, kind of that use case, building out the vision, why are people going to use that, all that documentation is there for sure. And then the other piece is the Yammer customer network. Sounds like you've been around for a while. Are you part of that? If not, let's get you in it, and that would be a great conversation to post and see how other customers are dealing with it, because I actually know of a few customers that they've involved legal in some of this process, and now legal is their best advocate for social, which blows your mind,
right?
Absolutely blows your mind when you kind of start to involve them in that as well.
Are you integrating to 365 eDiscovery?
That's not yet. We haven't seen that.
Okay,
it's coming, but I know that's the plan. But
there's some ISVs here too that can do keyword monitoring.
Yep. You can do keyword monitoring, data export, all that good stuff. Yep.
So I would also say the other thing some maybe tips or things to think about when you're actually having those discussions. I mean, think about legal and think about risk management. I mean, they are generally trying to manage for those edge cases.
Right.
And so they're trying to figure out, well, how do we manage for the 10% that, or even less, that generally doesn't occur? And so it's helping them understand, well, the benefit that we get by doing these things outweighs the 5, 10% that you're worried about. And it's kind of getting them over that. We were working with a bank, and they talk about how there's all kinds of risk all around us, and they're a bank. And one of the biggest risks for them is just in the business of running a bank is that we give them their money and somebody comes and steals it. But what they've done is they've put measures in place to manage those risks, to protect your money, to protect our money, so that it's not stolen, or that if it is stolen, then there's some mitigating factor in place. So I think those are some of the discussions that are helpful to have with legal to say, okay, yes, we understand what your concerns are. Here are the things that we're going to do to help mitigate some of those things.
And watch Melanie's session. She talks a lot about the risk team and the legal team and how you need to have them as your best friends.
I think this gentleman was waiting in line longer. Sorry, we'll come back.
He was. You were right.
Wow.
So we're about to launch Yammer, and we're going to dump another social tool that was mentioned over here earlier over time. And I'm really concerned about the creation of junk groups. Mm. Some guy creates America Sales West, and another one creates West Sales Americas. Mm. As a community manager, is there anything I can do other than lots of clicking around to manage that and try to get those things merged before they grow too large and over a period of time?
Well, first, before we start, I'd say you've heard Allison mention a couple times the Yammer Customer Network. So if you are a paid, licensed Yammer company, we can have you join the Yammer Customer Network.
So, post in the social track group if you want to be in there.
So, and the reason we mention that is because there's lots of great resources. And there's one resource in particular that I'm thinking of. It's called All About Groups. And it kind of goes soup to nuts, everything to think about when kind of curating and nurturing groups. Everything from starting a group to when you might delete a group. So in that note, what it talks about is when you're first starting a network, it can in some cases make sense to seed your network with some groups so that when people come in, they don't feel like they have to start everything from scratch. So it could make sense for you to go in and create the human resources group or the HR group, however you want to name it. You know, and it provides an opportunity for you to provide some initial guidance around the nomenclature you want around your group naming and your group structure. But it's also, I think, good to not go over the top either, not to put too much structure in place that people think that it's stifling and that they can't create.
Don't recreate the silos.
Yeah. Don't think about the way that people organize and the way that people work across teams and try to create cross-functional groups or cross-organizational groups. I think it does make sense to have functional groups like IT and HR because that's what people relate to. So that does make sense. Another thing to think about is seeding your network with those special interest groups. So there's one company I know, they for all their special interest groups, they started with interest-running club or interest-Ohio State Buckeye fans, whatever that might be. So that what the nice thing that happens is you can go in and start to type interest, and then you can see the drop down when you do a search, the type ahead of all the kind of social related, you know, non-work related type groups. And then you can start to shepherd discussions that are perhaps non-business related, the interest-cats. You see the cat video and you say, hey, maybe it's better that you post over in the cat lovers group, whatever that is.
I was having a conversation with one of our product guys, and I was telling him my exact frustration, right? We have over 100,000 people in our Yammer Microsoft network, and it's, you know, we've got similar things. And basically, he challenged me, and he said, the strongest will survive. And I'm like, what? But pretty much how Yammer kind of organizes itself is the ones that have the most activity will kind of rise to the top. And the one that's not getting used, that doesn't have people in it, will naturally just fall to the bottom. So even if you do have two groups that are kind of similar, either you as an admin can go and delete, or people will just say, well, that group only has got one person and no messages, so that's obviously the wrong group. And so we were kind of working through that, and I didn't really believe him at first. I was really struggling with that, and then I watched it happen with two groups as like one group just kind of died and everybody just followed that, right? Like if there's a good fun party to go to, we're all going to kind of go to that party versus like the one that has only one person.
The other thing from Melanie's session this morning that I think a lot of you guys could learn from is, so this gentleman here mentioned the keyword monitoring. So generally people use the keyword monitoring in Yammer to get keywords for bad things. So like, so when somebody puts a social security number or somebody uses an F-bomb in the network, an administrator can get notified of that, right? But instead what she does is she uses it for good. She actually puts the word created in the keyword monitoring? Because whenever somebody creates a group in Yammer, it says, John Doe created the US West District group. So then what happens is she gets a notification of that, and then she reaches out to that person and says, hey, thank you for creating that group. I'd like to provide you with some resources to help make sure that you're successful with your group. And I'd like you to join this group administrator group so that I can support you and make sure that you have what you need to be a successful group administrator. So she's taken a very proactive approach to group creation and making sure that those groups are thriving and successful.
Great. Thank you.
Yep. We have about 10 minutes left, so let's do these two and we'll be
I'll be quick. My organization has used Google Analytics on SharePoint in order to show business value by identifying key metrics and winning over sort of skeptical business folks who thought SharePoint's a fad and wasn't providing value, and eventually we were able to prove that, and they're very convinced. Yeah. Now, as we head into the social area with Yammer, we want to do the same thing. So two quick questions for you. One, how well does Yammer hook up to Google Analytics? And then two, any suggestions in terms of metrics that we might want to focus on that ultimately will win over the decision makers?
Dollar bills.
So I answer the first one. The first one is we're not able to integrate with Google Analytics very well. A lot of that is due to the nature in which Yammer is a multi-tenant platform. You can't really change the code to be able to embed that Google Analytics code in there. But also because even if you were able to do it, it would be very difficult to get effective Google Analytics the way that Google does it, because the way that the page is structured, there's all these different components on the page that they work together, and you know, they look like they work very together harmoniously, but it's very difficult to get the Google Analytics type stuff that you're thinking about. As far as what things to measure, I think it's going to vary based off of where you're at in your maturity. Overall network maturity. So early on, I think it's natural for people to measure things like number of posts that are posted, number of activated accounts, the number of likes, things like that. So, but then you start to mature and you start to figure out, okay, well, how can we start? The other thing that I talked about in this morning session is that I think it's really important not to just focus on success metrics, which are the quantitative piece, but make sure that you're creating really fulfilling success criteria, which includes qualitative statistics. So are you demonstrating that people are actually sharing more? I mean, you can't really put a number around that. Are you demonstrating that people are finding expertise more quickly than they ever have before? That's a difficult thing to measure, but you can anecdotally or through surveys get some of that information. So I think, especially in the early stages, it's a lot easier to really kind of pull out stories and pull out qualitative things and marry that with, you know, if you have 10,000 messages, what does that mean? Great, I have 10,000 messages, but is that a good thing or a bad thing? I don't know. But if you're really able to pull out and say, look, we were able to pull this person from sales and this person from product and develop a new innovation, that's really compelling to me, right? If you go to your CEO and say, hey, we had 10,000 messages, all right, well, what were they talking about?
Yeah, that's great. I was just going to say we've got some good documentation about, we call them Yam wins, so very similar of kind of capturing that story. Some other customers use a hashtag success. So it's stories in their back pocket where Yammer has maybe saved time, saved money, created opportunity, connected the dots in, you know, a way that maybe no other tool could. And that's something that's really exciting. Back to one of my stories from Food Services of America, very similar conversation happened where somebody says, hey, when we're doing our SAP or whatever ERP tool they were using for debits and credits and some of the receipts that they were getting, it was such a laborious process. And he said, there's got to be a better way of doing this. And so they ended up posting, and through the conversation, they ended up simplifying the process and reallocated 3 headcount elsewhere because they implemented a process that they had conversed about on Yammer for the group up in, let's say, Seattle, and then they kind of implemented it nationwide. 3 people got reallocated to something else that was of more value. To me, that's something that Google Analytics isn't going to tell you. Or any social type of likes or messages, that's stuff that's not going to be able to tell. But to have that story in there and then go to the CEO and say, look, this is what we're up to, that's powerful. That is really, really powerful. So, cool. Last question. Better be good. Better be good.
So we talked a lot about large organizations and the value of a social network to thousands of users, but I was wondering if you could speak to rolling out Yammer to smaller organizations and how you can create value there.
Yeah, so how small? Like four, five?
Say about 200.
200. Oh, that's a great
Most people
size.
Talk over their cubes.
Yeah, stand on the chairs. Hey. Yeah.
So I guess I'll ask you back. What challenges does your 200-person organization face that you think Yammer could solve?
Well, one of the challenges, somebody mentioned Chatter and other things, but some of our groups have rolled out other tools like Basecamp and things like that to track conversations. And, I guess creating some kind of public record of conversations and things like that instead of having to go through email threads and, standard kind of Yammer.
Are you all in one place or geographically dispersed or...?
Yeah, mostly in one place, but we have some subsidiaries, too, that might benefit from it, from Federation and things like that.
And question, do you ever hire anybody new?
Absolutely.
You do? Perfect use case for it. This is something that I am passionate about from a training perspective, but to get these new people up to speed, the conversations that you might have maybe in email or in distribution lists or wherever across the cube are great conversations, but that new hire that you're going to hire next week, next month, next year is never going to know about what you said, ever. I had a good friend, she joined a law firm of four people, the attorneys have been together for 20 some years. She walks in and she has no idea what they've been up to for 20 years because they just sat and talked back to each other. She's like, Allison, I have no idea of how to get up to speed, how they do things, why they do things, how I can improve things. And she's like, I wish they would have used Yammer. Now, 20 years ago, it would have been a different tool. But so long story long, I think that that could be something really good as well. So I'm betting that you guys have a specific culture and a company,
sure,
kind of how you do things. That could be a really good thing to kind of welcome your new people in as well.
I also don't think it's going to be very natural for you to jump into a face-to-face conversation that people are having and say, hey, can you stop and go post that on Yammer?
Right. Yeah.
So I don't think that there's a... I don't think
hashtag
that's
in real life.
Yeah. So I don't think that's an expectation that you'd have to change that type of behavior, but I think if you help your team understand that, one of the things I like to say about Yammer is that it's self-documenting. So as we're narrating the things that we're working on, or as we're putting things into the network, it becomes discoverable, like Allison was describing.
Yeah,
it's
like, why did discoverable we do that 2 months ago? People. Yeah, why did we do that thing? And
yeah, so if you can think about moving even some of those email conversations that you do have today, think about moving some of that workload into enterprise social.
He has a good kind of baseline. If you're emailing more than five people, more than three people, it might be a good conversation to have a little bit more open. If you can even read any of this, these are all the Enterprise Social Tracks sessions. There's one actually right after.
And we have swag.
Oh boy, nice. Yammer swag. And then
and we're
going to
talk more about
well.
Half-life of information, and we'll actually dig in and show some real stuff in Yammer, too.
A bit more technical.
And Gus and I are actually doing a frontline workers session, so how to use enterprise social if you have a lot of retail or manufacturing kind of frontline workers, 10:45 tomorrow, somewhere on this floor.
Cool, great. Thanks, guys. See you on Yammer.
You.